May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A famous portrait by Holman pictures the head of Christ with his hair light brown in color, flowing down in dark golden curls to the neck. But our scripture text this morning from Revelation chapter 1, verse 14, says that the hair of Christ was completely white, white like wool, as white as snow. Perhaps you and I are apt to think of our Lord as a young man. We know that he lived only 33 years on our planet, while still in his prime, having ministered among the people just 3 years. Jesus suddenly was arrested. He was tried before Pontius Pilate and then brutally executed. We know that Jesus died young. He died before ever reaching what we call middle age. But the gospel goes on to tell us that Jesus rose from the dead. He didn't remain 33 years of age. After his death, the power of God revived him, and our Lord was brought back to life. He is now in the presence of God, his heavenly Father, and he reigns with him. So Christ continues to live today. That makes him more than an octogenarian, more than a centenarian. He is close to 2,000 years old. But in fact, he is even older than that, for the Bible tells us that he was present at the creation of the world. In the beginning was the Word, says the Apostle Paul, and all things were made by him. And Jesus says of himself in the book of Revelation, I am from everlasting to everlasting, from the beginning and before the world was made. Jesus indeed is old as eternity. No wonder then that our scripture says that his hair is white. This morning I wish to speak to you about the Ancient One, Jesus Christ, whose hair is as white as snow. Let us consider together his deep sorrow, his wonderful beauty, and his great antiquity. First, his sorrow. Is there anything that changes the color of the hair as quickly as trouble? You see a person today with jet black hair, and in 5 years, you see that person again with hair that is pure white. In the intervening time, he or she perhaps has experienced financial ruin, or the person's family has suddenly been taken away by death. It is pain and sorrow that often account for great change. It is said that Marie Antoinette, while still Queen of France, was greeted by cheering crowds whenever her carriage was driven through the streets of Paris. The people would actually try to unharness the horses so that they themselves might pull the carriage. She was a beautiful person, both in form and spirit, and for a time the whole French nation worshipped her. But after a few years and a sudden revolution, you see Antoinette being drawn on a sled toward her execution, her arms tied behind her, one eye put out, her husband executed, her children taken away. She faces a swift death by guillotine. History records that in one night during those terrible days, her hair turned completely white. Jesus certainly had enough sorrow to whiten his hair. He had dwelt in the palaces of eternity with legions of angels to serve him. Then the Son of the Heavenly King came to earth to be born in a lowly stable. He had nowhere to lay his head, despised by those in authority and rejected by those he came to save. Finally, he was forsaken by his friends, and in the hands of enemies, he was scourged, beaten, and then nailed to a cross. Was the suffering of the cross the period in which his hair turned white? Wounded for our transgressions, the chastisement of our peace upon him, Jesus hung on the cross, the ruddiness gone from his cheeks, the color faded from his brow, the brightness and sparkle no longer in his eyes. Was that when the hair of Jesus became as white as wool, as white as snow? Sorrow and anguish can cause great visible change. Second, we consider the beauty of Christ, who is the fairest of 10,000. From time to time, fashion changes its mind as to what is judged the best color of hair. The ancient Romans sprinkled their hair with silver and gold. 400 years ago, the English powdered their hair. Today we frost and frizz and dye our hair, sometimes even coloring it green or bright orange. A few years ago, my wife and I turned to a YouTube program called Charlie Is So Cool Like. And in amusement, we watched teenaged Charlie McDonald of Britain gradually dye his hair. Step by step, he wet, dyed, and rinsed his hair, changing it from a light brown to a dusky red. It was impressive. But God declares that he likes white hair the best. In Proverbs, we read, "The hoary head is a crown of glory if found in the way of righteousness." Indeed, is there anything more beautiful than a full head of white hair? In Ithaca, I visited a member of a Presbyterian congregation who had recently been dismissed from the hospital. Despite her surgery, she had a healthy glow about her, and adding to the impression of her well-being was her full head of beautiful white hair. White hair is the way God has of saying to a person who has accumulated many years of life, "You have been honorable. You have been faithful. Receive a crown of glory." White hair is beautiful in the church. It is beautiful in the home. It is beautiful at a wedding. It is beautiful even at a funeral. Do you see what our scripture text means then when it says his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow? It is speaking of the beauty of Christ and giving him due honor. Have you through the dark of night seen the beauty of Christ flash upon your vision? He is beautiful when he comes to pardon, beautiful when he comes to comfort, beautiful when he comes to save. He is the ancient one whose hair is as white as wool. Finally, we consider the antiquity of Christ. It is no new Christ who comes to us. It is not a stranger whom we see through the night. It is the aged Christ who is the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. 1,000 million years give no idea of his antiquity. He comes down through periods of time when there were no worlds, before light had struck its first spark. He is the Jesus who spoke on Mount Sinai with Moses, whose divine finger wrote the Ten Commandments on tablets of stone. He is the one who heard the prayers of Samuel and Saul, who stood in the damp dungeon with Paul, and who is present here with us this morning. He says, "I am from everlasting to everlasting, from the beginning, before the world was, and I offer you the water of life. If anyone drinks of this water, that person shall have deep within his soul a well of water springing up to eternal life." Scripture says, Ho, everyone who thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he who has no money, come, buy and eat. Come that your soul may live, and I, the Lord, will make with you an everlasting covenant, even the sure mercies of David. If you are wearied by life, if you have nowhere to turn, you have an everlasting arm to lean upon. If you fall into despair and discouragement, if you have no sense of hope, you still have a heavenly hand to help you, to pick you up. And if your eye grows dim and the way seems dark, if you can't see the steps before you because you've lost your way, you have a friend to show you the path to follow, a path of light that leads upward. You can go to this friend for comfort in trouble. You can pray to this friend for pardon from guilt. You can trust in this friend when all else may falter and fail you. This friend is the one whose hair is white, whiter than wool, as white as snow. Let us pray. Lord, our loving God, bless us with the knowledge of Christ, who is from everlasting to everlasting. Help us to turn to him for forgiveness, for mercy and pardon, so that our strength may be renewed and we may mount up with wings as eagles, without weariness, without fainting or doubt. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.